Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Sam Matterface, and today myself, Alex Crook and Scott Minto discuss Spurs, who conceded four goals against Liverpool at Anfield. Have the wheels come off for Big Ange and the bandwagon, or is it just a slight blip for Tottenham as they pursue European football next season? Also, West Ham are set to appoint Julian Lopetegui as their new manager. In the summer, he's going to replace David Moyes. Is the Spaniard the answer to take the Hammers to the next level? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
We're going to start with West Ham, though, because breaking news in the last few minutes, we think they're going to change their manager, and it's going to be someone we've seen before in the Premier League.
Yeah, and someone we've been talking about here on TalkSport when it comes to West Ham for a couple of weeks ago. Julian Lopetegui, of course, left Wolves right on the eve of the season, suggesting the squad wasn't good enough to be competitive. I think Gary O'Neill has proved him wrong on that front. But yeah, it looks like Lopetegui will be the man to replace Moyes. I was told a few minutes ago the deal isn't done yet, but I think it is edging closer. Obviously, we know that certain members of the West Ham hierarchy were keen to appoint Ruben Amorim. We know that talks were held between him and the West Ham board. He met the owner, David Sullivan, flew over on a private jet, and I think certainly Tim Stuyton and Mark Noble were still trying to revive that deal as recently as the weekend. But Lopetegui, I think, is an easier one to do. He's obviously a free agent, so there's no compensation, whereas Amorim would be expensive. I wonder how West Ham fans are feeling about this, because the big complaint they have when it comes to David Moyes is that the style of football, I don't see a massive difference between the way that he plays and the way Lopetegui does.
Well, you've been working in Spanish football over the course of the last 10 years. You would have seen Julian Lopetegui and his Sevilla sides, other sides in that division. He was at Real Madrid for a very short period too. He was the Spain national coach for a short period before leaving on the eve of the 2018 World Cup. How will he fit at the London Stadium?
I've got to be honest with you, I'm not overly enamoured by the decision, if that is going to be the decision. I've said this a few times on TalkSport. I don't like talking about managers when David Moyes... And look, whatever you think about his style of play, and I've seen a lot of West Ham this season, I really have, and I do get the fans saying about the style of play. I mean, you even look at the Arsenal game, and okay, well, that's a good example because you come up against Arsenal, but from minute one, it was kind of sitting back and playing at home, and that's not what the fans want to see. They want to see you try and go for it. But if you look at Lopetegui, very well organised, very well structured, but he's not the anti-David Moyes in terms of what the fans are looking for. And what I would say is what you do get with David Moyes is, I think in years to come, we'll be looking back as seeing this as a golden period for West Ham.
Well, they've done this once before, haven't they? They've brought in someone who they thought was going to be more exotic, more able to attract bigger name players, and it went badly.
And they brought David Moyes back in.
They had to get David Moyes back in to firefight, and look what they've done since. Look, I think there is going to be a lot of people that are pleased that era has come to the end, and it feels like it has come to the natural end. But the way they've done it is nothing short of a disgrace. They have disrespected him. They've done a beauty pageant of different managers. just coming in and out of the club in the full glare of the media over the course of the last 3 weeks. The guy hasn't even been told he's not getting the job yet, and he's been made to continue trying to ask these players to go out there on a Sunday or a Saturday afternoon and put themselves on the line. And they've responded by saying, well, hold on a second, if the club don't respect you, we can't respect the club, because they were absolutely disgraceful yesterday. And I think it all comes down to the fact that there's a lack of clarity over his future.
Yeah, and I think there's a consensus amongst West Ham fans that if you don't watch West Ham on a regular basis, then you're Moyes in, you know, be careful what you wish for brigade in the media. I think the truth can be somewhere in between. I think David Moyes has done a terrific job. Nobody can argue with that, winning that European trophy last season. Regularly, they've qualified for Europe, and you look at their history, they're not a top 10 team in the Premier League. In fact, they spent more of their Premier League history in the bottom half than they have challenging at the top end. But I do also feel like it's reached its natural conclusion. But I think it could have been handled a lot better. They could have announced weeks ago that David Moyes would leave the club come the end of the season. I think he would have got a decent send-off. It would have improved the atmosphere around London Stadium. And the fact they're actively pursuing managers behind his back, I think, is a really poor look. And it's interesting, this power struggle that continues to go on at West Ham. There's always been fractions at boardroom level. Sullivan pushing for Lopetegui. I've just been told that Tim Stuyton is still fighting the corner when it comes to Amorim. So
not from the training ground, he's not.
The owner and the sporting director.
Not from the dressing
room. On the same page. So it's a football club, to use that wonderful phrase that Birmingham City used, they're not aligned, are they?
Well, hold on, they're definitely not aligned, because Tim Stein was banned from the dressing room. No, he wasn't banned. He wasn't banned. He agreed
to stay
he
away.
He agreed not to go in the dressing room. So he got up in the morning, put his hand up and said, by the way, I'm not going to come to the dressing room anymore.
Yeah.
It's a club that actually has allowed itself to get into this situation and has failed to build on what was a great success last year.
Look, I think it was always going to be difficult. You win a European trophy, you win your first major trophy for over 40 years.
You can make it more difficult.
And you're not offered a new contract, or if you are offered, it's not been signed. So clearly things have been going on behind the scenes. I actually think now at this stage, David Moyes has been told, or he's even told the club, he's not going. Just we haven't heard it publicly. Mm. So, but I still think it lacks class by getting Ruben Amorim over. Meetings could have happened in quiet, whether it be in Portugal, whether it be in London. I think Amorim actually wanted it out there and maybe trying to smoke out Liverpool to see what would happen there. So they were played a bit. I just go back to what David Moyes has done. And if you're going to change, you almost want an Ange Postecoglou type manager. If you're going to go down that route, if you're going to give what the West Ham fans want. There is a West Ham way, but I do think it's changed in the sense that fans will not just will lose 3-2 every week, but as long as it's exciting. You just look at Spurs and what's happening there, because that's exactly what's happening. And in the beginning of that season, everyone was all over Ange. And now you're hearing people in his first full season saying, well, he should go. So I just think absolutely it looks like as a board level, West Ham don't know what they're doing at the moment, and that's a real worry going forward.
Four top 10 finishes between 97 and 2002. You were involved in some of those.
I finished fifth. I joined in January. We finished fifth. I think that's still West Ham's highest ever Premier League finish. You know, Di Canio and Trevor Sinclair and Stuart Pearce might have been involved in that. We had some great players, Rio Ferdinand, Frank Lampard. It's not a club that you should be thinking top four. It's not. And that's where I do think the fans do need to be careful. Again, I do understand the style of play. I've watched a lot of West Ham this season. It's not particularly exciting at times, but there have been some very good performances, both in Europe and in the Premier League. Just if you are going to come to a natural end, which I think is where they are, which is what David Moyes, I think he doesn't want it anymore. I don't think he wants the hassle anymore. But you need to get someone in who the fans are going to take to almost straight away.
What they should have done is at the end of last season, if they'd decided already that it wasn't going to be a long-term future with David Moyes, they should have allowed him to go off into the sunset and start to build from there. They brought in a new sporting director. They clearly were going to spend the Declan Rice money, and they've spent that well, by the way, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. But the way they've handled this transition has actually set them back. They could have built on that European success last year. They could have gone into the Europa League with a new outlook if that's what they wanted to do. Instead, they've wasted this year. They've wasted the opportunity, and now they're going to go back to someone who, let's be completely clear, is not covered himself in glory in the Premier League, and the way he handled himself towards the end at Wolves wasn't a great advert for his character.
No, and I think the writing's been on the wall for David Moyes ever since that night that you two enjoyed in Prague, because if you don't get offered a new trophy when you've just delivered the first piece of silverware in decades, that's a pretty big indication that the owners aren't convinced you're the man for the long haul. I don't think his relationship with Tim Stuyton has ever been particularly amicable. I think Stuyton wanted to go one direction in the summer. Moyes was pushing for the likes of James Ward-Prowse and Scott McTominay and Harry Maguire. So I think he's been handled very badly right from the start of the season. And it slowly but surely got worse. If you look at their form in 2024... it really isn't very good at all, and I think that's as a result of the uncertainty in the dressing room. It
certainly is. I'd like to hear from West Ham United fans. What do you think about the possibility of Julian Lopetegui taking over at your club as we understand it? What would you say the line is this morning, that deal is almost done?
Yeah, almost done. As I say, still a little bit of pressure to try and get Ammer in, but he's come out and said that he's staying at Sporting anyway, so I think all roads at this stage point towards Lopetegui.
And you said about the cheap option as well.
There was no compensation
for
him.
Well, that in itself just screams out lacking class and cheapness. This is West Ham United.
Hammering would have cost them €12 million, right?
Plus, arguably, more wages than Lopetegui.
Well, how much do they buy in a player?
Yeah, but this is the weird thing about when it comes to recruiting managers. I know we've got to hit the break. It always bemuses me that Premier League clubs are reluctant to pay release clauses for managers, and they'll pay millions of pounds for players who aren't proven at Premier League level.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
I have one text in this morning. It says, I usually have to pay £1.50 a minute to listen to a husky voice. This morning it's free with Sam. You're more than welcome. We like to provide a service. No. Right, okay. Yeah, you just concentrate on texting. 4-0 down after an hour. Spurs find themselves in a bit of a slump this time away at Liverpool. I mean, it's been quite a fall off from Ange Postecoglou's team. Take it back to that Chelsea game, day before that Chelsea game. Unbeaten, conceded 9 goals. They were conceding less than 1 goal a game. Since that Chelsea night, they've basically fallen off a cliff in terms of form. So they've failed to win 15 of the last 25. They've conceded, on average, 2 goals a game. They had a really good start to the campaign. Well, they just found out after that Chelsea match.
Look, I mean, first of all, we got a caveat with what happened last season and the sort of toxicity that was around Antonio Conte. So I think someone like Ange coming in, football, brilliant to watch. He was the antidote to Conte, wasn't he? And everyone was loving it because the results were right. I mean, again, that's what we're saying now. All the fans who turn around and say, oh, we don't mind losing as long as we go for it. Well, this is almost the perfect example right now.
Well, this is testing the patience, isn't it?
Absolutely. But look, I was at that Chelsea game as well, and I remember it. And we all remember what he said afterwards. You know, if we were down to 5 men, we'd still play the same way. Now, if I understand you're trying to create a certain culture, but the most important culture is a winning one. And you ain't going to win games if you play in the way you were with 9 men or 5 men or even 11 men if you're doing that on a regular basis. That night, and they could have made it 2-2 at one point in that game, but that night, if they'd played against City or Arsenal, they'd have conceded 9.
But is it as simple as people have worked out how to beat them and they're doing that on a regular basis and there's nothing that they can do about it because they've basically given up their trade secrets? Or is it that actually they've fallen off the pace and they're not performing as well as they were at the beginning of the season? Because I suppose that the next question is, so it's all right to say, well, I've got a philosophy and I don't need a plan B, I just need to do this one better.
It's not.
But ultimately, if you're a manager that wants to get into the top four, if you're a manager that wants to win the league, if you're a manager that wants to become one of the established elite, if someone finds out what you're good at and negates it, the best managers, the best tacticians, they change it. They come up with another solution. And Tottenham haven't.
It was exactly what we've seen Pep Guardiola do on a regular basis. It's exactly what we saw Mikel Arteta do against Spurs as well, where normally they're very much on the front foot, but they were quite happy to sit back and counter-attack because they knew how they could get them with the high line and set pieces. I think this is always going to be a honeymoon season for Ange, and yet the honeymoon is kind of finished already now after what's happened. And hearing callers, you know, call in to Talk Sport and say, you know, he should go, we've not even had a full first season yet. For me, he needs to be careful. He has to be. He's asking his players. And look, first of all, the players aren't playing as well as they were early in the season. But you have to give your players a chance. And to play that way, and some of them are either not playing well or your main players being injured, to play that way against top teams, you are always going to struggle. And if you lose on a regular basis, I don't care how the style of football is, fans will start to turn and you will not win trophies.
Ange Postecoglou says he was quite impressed with some of the elements of yesterday's game. They were more like their old self during that match yesterday. How concerned would you be if you're a Tottenham supporter about what's next?
I think the run of form is concerning. Since that Chelsea game, the number of goals they're conceding, the drop-off in performance levels. James Maddison, I think, is the biggest example of that, but Son's not been the same player in the second half of the season either. The goalkeeper, I think, has gone backwards, having had a really good start to life in English football.
Well, I gave you a statistic about that last night on the Premier League All Access. You know, his save percentage was up there with the very best, 78% in the first 10 games of the season. It's now down to 58%. He's had problems, big style, with set pieces that they haven't dealt with.
I just think they're too easy to play against. You know, the number of times in that first hour that Liverpool found themselves 4-3, 4-4, you can't go to Anfield and play like that. We were there when Manchester United managed to get a 0-0 draw. They put men behind the ball. They tried to hit Liverpool on the counter-attack. And that is really, unless you're Manchester City or maybe Arsenal, that's the only way you can go to Anfield and expect to get a result.
Do you get the sense, though, that when from the people that you speak to, that people are starting to think, hold on a second, Ange, you need to do something about this? Or are they accepting of his philosophy? And, you know, this is a guy who's changed the mood completely from one of sort of discontent and rancour last season. People falling asleep watching them because they were so boring. And they were boring, right, last year. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, like, especially in the first half of games last season, just didn't do anything. It was just like, kill the game. But this year it has been more exciting. There has been more jeopardy in it. But has it gone too far the other way?
Well, you can't argue it's been exciting. I mean, I've been at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium a lot, and you never really see a bad game there. And I think actually if you speak to most Spurs fans, certainly match-going Tottenham fans, they're behind the manager. They like the style of play. They're being entertained. But at one stage this season, he was being made out to be the kind of messiah. You look at the league table, they're not going to finish in the Champions League places in a season when United and Chelsea have basically checked out. They're finishing behind Aston Villa. I think at the start of the season, you'd have probably put those two clubs quite level, if not Tottenham, maybe more of a chance than Villa of delivering Champions League football. He gave up the League Cup with his team selection against Fulham. That was an opportunity to get to Wembley potentially and win a trophy. They were out the FA Cup before the competition really got underway. Yes, the football's better, but in terms of achievement, are they anywhere nearer along the line? Well, it's better to watch.
Better to watch,
are they any nearer to achieving what they really want, and that is to be challenging for silverware? I'm not sure they are.
But as this texter says, Rome wasn't built in a day. This is Ewan as a Celtic fan. He's on record saying he'd much rather win 4-3 than 1-0. The issue is their goals have dried up. He said, Big Ange will come good. In fact, cancel that Big Ange out. Send him back to Glasgow, please. He's a big Celtic fan.
I think he's been overhyped.
Lee is a St Johnston fan, says he's sitting fifth with Spurs, same points as last year with three games to go, and he's lost Harry Kane. Honestly, because he came from Scotland, you're giving him a hard time. That's not the case, though, is it?
No, it's not about going to Scotland.
It's the fact that he's gone with a really ambitious plan. That plan started superbly, and he got a lot of plaudits when it was going well.
Yeah.
But when it starts going wrong, you've got to expect the criticism.
And the problem is, it's going back round full turn to a little bit to how it was last season now, which is the last thing that Spurs fans want. And I'm very much, I've got the table up as well, and I was just about to say that. Look, they are fifth. And whatever you say about Chelsea and Man U, they're above Chelsea and Man U. Newcastle, they're above them. You know, Aston Villa having a wonderful season. They're finishing fifth. If someone had said at the start of the season, Spurs are going to finish fifth, that's six. Don't use the word success, but that's massive progression.
Scott, most of the teams that start the way they started, and I was trying to find the statistics a little bit earlier because I remember when we were doing the Tottenham games, we went to Luton early in the season, and I think the statistics were that 90% of the teams that have managed to get that number of points in their first nine games
finish in the top four.
Yeah, but no one expected Spurs to be up there in the first place after nine games. So
didn't expect Aston Villa to be in there either.
They managed to finish fifth in a four-horse race.
Come on. Again, I'll go back to whatever we say about Chelsea and United, and obviously massive problems there. They're still above them. They're still above Newcastle. Look, for me, in turn, you have to take the season as a whole. So to finish fifth is great. But I am worried about since that Chelsea game, because what is the trend? What are we going to see next season? We know that Daniel Levy doesn't really splash the cash. I think playing this type of style, you need 11 almost world-class players. And with the greatest respect to the Scottish League, you know, you can play that way and still win the title. Absolutely no problem. This is the English Premier League, the toughest, whether you say it's the best, the toughest in the world.
So you're saying he has to adapt?
I think he has to. And if he doesn't, next season, we could be getting like a David Moyes type thing going on. Because I do worry that with him being so stubborn, and he does practice set pieces. Of course he practices set pieces. But I think the fact he's been so prickly about that, and I don't know why he's been so prickly, he should just say, yeah, we've got a problem with it, we're working on it, and we want to try and sort that out.
It seems like an odd hill to die on, the fact that we don't need a set-piece coach, we don't need to worry about set-pieces, it's not the biggest problem. And then you go to Arsenal, go to Chelsea, concede 4 set-pieces, yeah, and lose 2 games back-to-back. Interestingly, though, he did say in his press conference on Friday in the build-up to Sunday's game that he's going to have to get rid of some of the players. And he was quite strident, I thought. A time of the season when you've still got games to win, you've still got matches to play, that he sort of didn't list the players that were going to leave the club, but he was pretty clear that he was going to have to make changes to the personnel because he wasn't happy about the way that they'd performed over the last few months.
It was an odd thing to say. If it was David Moyes or Erik ten Hag, David Moyes we know isn't going to be at West Ham next season. Ten Hag, I think very much the future is up in the air. It's almost like the manager is firing some shots as he leaves the building. If he's a manager who's going to be in situ, I think that's a weird thing to say because, as we know, it's easy to say we want to get rid of players. It's a lot harder to do that. If they want to sell Richarlison, for example, who's going to pay the money that Tottenham paid to sign him in the first place? Who's going to pay the wages? And he needs these players between now and the end of the season to make sure they finish fifth, because Newcastle have got a bit of momentum.
And if you're one
by
of those
the way,
players,
it's not a given.
In that dressing room, and you think that you might be on dodgy ground with him, you'll know that he's talking about you, and yeah, that will affect
the players. Will know publicly. You don't say that again. I'm really surprised he's come out and said it privately to the board. Absolutely, and he does. I'm sorry, again, playing this way, Spurs have hit it a little bit lucky this season because of what we said about Chelsea and United as well, who will be better next season. So they carry on with this squad, with this style, in this way, they're top 8 max.
I think he's also too demanding with the squad. You look at the number of muscle injuries they've picked up over the course of the season.
Everyone's had those.
Yeah, but the intensity that he likes to play at, is the squad deep enough? Because you lose a Van de Ven, for example, and you've got people coming into the team, that you lose Udogi, and obviously Emerson Royal comes in and had a bit of a nightmare at Anfield at the weekend, that the squad isn't deep enough. So to start saying, I'm going to get rid of players, let's get a squad
first.
They're
going to need to spend.
Fascinating to see that, actually, I should say that everyone's had injuries. Well, actually, Pep Guardiola hasn't had that many injuries. Manchester City seemed to manage to ride that, and so did Arsenal, really. Apart from Jurrien Timber, they haven't had too many problems either.
The only real qualm City fans could have would be whether or not they should have got more goals. The gap, though, stands at 1 point, with Arsenal's goal difference now superior by 6. City, though, with that crucial game in hand. Full-time at the Etihad, Manchester City 5, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1.
There was never a moment, I think, from the moment that you turned the TV on at 5:30 on Saturday, when you sat down to watch that game, where you thought, well, you never know.
No, and
it was inevitable, wasn't it?
And that's the strength of it. I mean, this was not going to be the weekend where, you know, City would drop the points. Look, you have to say, Wolves have been superb and what Gary O'Neill has done, but with the injuries they've had, with the golfing class between the two, I think City just showed, again, not just in terms of winning the 3 points, but again, where they are mentally. You know, clearly they're multiple winners. What they've done is nothing short of sensational. You know what I think about Pep Guardiola
as well.
You love
him.
I do.
You worship him.
I love that
guy.
You
worship at the church of Guardiola.
Almost. I can see how he must be difficult for you guys. Post-match can be very prickly,
yeah,
even if they win. But I just think he's a genius. And I think what he's doing here at this particular moment is dominating English football. To be fair, it's happened before with Liverpool in the late 70s, early 80s.
And not to this extent.
And so Alex Ferguson, yeah, well, 7 titles in 9 years.
Yeah, but if they win 4 in a row, then no one's ever done that.
No one's ever done that. And that's why I actually kind of want to see history in the making.
Do you?
Yeah, I want to be
able...
Are you
not turned off by it in any way, shape or form?
No.
I mean, Manchester City, when they get to the end of the season, they basically just steamroll everyone. They've scored 24 goals in their last 6 games since the draw against Arsenal.
Last season, they went on a 16-match unbeaten run, winning 14 times to take the title before they lost at Brentford on the final day. The year before that, they won 23 times in a run of one defeat in 28. The season before that, they won 17 times in a 19-match unbeaten sequence. The problem here is we can talk all you like, and I think Perry Groves mentioned it on the Premier League All Access last night, about Arsenal running them close, Liverpool running them close. It doesn't matter if you run them close. The fact is, you don't beat them. They don't falter. They always get over the line. And does that lose a little bit of romance? Does that actually sort of get to the point where you become numb to the brilliance? Because they are brilliant, right? They are spectacular. They are a wonderful team. But do you get just a little bit too used to it?
Yeah, I think complacency does set in, not just from neutral observers, but probably from Man City fans as well. And I've experienced this firsthand when Manchester United was so dominant, you turn up at games almost expecting to win. There's an argument to say the atmosphere at Old Trafford has improved as United have got worse, because suddenly when you come up against the likes of Liverpool and City, you're the underdog, and the players have to raise their game, and so do the fans. I think
that's
it is,
because you're in the prawn sandwich brigade all the time. That's why.
I think it is all a bit robotic and a bit methodical when it comes to Man City. Personally, and this is not because of my allegiances to United.
Might be a little bit.
I'd rather watch Arsenal, because I think there is a bit more jeopardy. You're not entirely convinced they're going to win every week, whereas I think you are when it comes to Manchester City. And Perry Groves was clutching at straws when we recorded the podcast. He still thinks there's a draw somewhere, to quote him. I can't see it. They go to Fulham at the weekend live on TalkSport. Fulham, I'm not saying on the beach, but they basically turned up in flip-flops and Bermuda shorts last weekend. You've got West Ham in no form at all at this moment in time, and you've got Tottenham who've fallen off a cliff as well. They're going to win every game. It will probably go to the last day of the season, because United aren't good enough to beat Arsenal on Sunday. But I think we know where the title is going.
I don't know why we can't just appreciate absolute brilliance at its
very
best.
We do appreciate it, but we get too used to it.
There's no normalising. No. There's no not just.
You could appreciate enjoy once, twice, three times, right, but maybe four times.
But you're a fully signed up member of the Guardiola cult.
You're in the cult.
Yeah, but well, I'm.
You think he's the best manager the Premier League's ever seen?
You've been brainwashed.
No. Well, that's an argument. The Premier League legends of the manager will always be Sir Alex Ferguson, because Pep won't be.
Yeah, but he's
in
very
English
close.
Football,
he's a very
possible.
Close number two or three to Wenger, isn't he?
I personally feel that Pep Guardiola is one of the very best in the history of the game. And for me, what he's done in different countries. Look, I did Spanish football.
He's a genius, right? He's a genius. But he's also convinced everybody, he's convinced us all, that we all have to play like him. So he goes around and he says to Roberto De Zerbi, "All right, fella, you're brilliant. You are fantastic. Keep playing out from the back like that. You know, we'll come down on Thursday night. You play out from the back. It looks fantastic. I mean, we'll pinch it, score four goals in the first half and sweep you aside. But no, you're doing great."
Sam, we did that game, didn't we?
And
we were saying in commentary,
if they play that way, if everyone plays the same way as him, he's got the better players, and they will sweep everyone aside.
But that's the legacy that he brought to this country before he even arrived. Again, you know, you look back at that Barcelona team that he had, and people saying, "Oh, it's only Messi and Xavi and Iniesta, that's why he's done it." Well, he has created that Barcelona team in Manchester City without Lionel Messi.
Absolutely.
It's absolute brilliance. So, you know, I see games in different leagues, in Championship, League One and League Two. I see clearly coaches asking 6'4", head it, kick it, centre half, being asked to pivot on the ball, centre midfielders who are not used to having their back to play, fullbacks going into midfield. And I'm like, wow, what the influence of this guy has done is absolutely sensational. And even at Premier League level, these players are not good enough, which is why he needs the elite of the elite to play football in its purest form. De Zerbi's trying to be even purer. But you can't do that. Again, I'll go back to Ange. You have to give your players a chance. And if they're not quite capable of that, whatever your philosophy is, you need to just dilute that a little bit to give your players a chance against the very best.
I think it's amazing that we've got into a situation where he's developed football and he's educated everybody that it's much better. And we all agree, he is fantastic. But it isn't the only way to play.
Of course not.
And sometimes you need an outlier to come along and put a spanner in the works.
Well,
and
like
change it.
Like Arsenal with Mikel Arteta, who was his number two for so long.
Yeah, well, exactly. But he's not exactly changing. He's not
well,
an
that's
outlier.
What I'm saying.
He's not putting a spanner in the works, is he? He's just doing it. But he can't do it as well because they've got better players. Because as this texter says here, Sam, as great as Pep is, this is the club that have had the pick of any top player in Europe for years now. They can pay the highest wage, hence why they are the only destinations for Haaland, Guardiola, Grealish, etc. Pep coaches them to be robotic,
But people want change. They want to see something different because it is boring. Sam, if Arsenal don't win the league, I think they would have lost it at the Etihad. Coming to City and playing for a draw when you want to win the league.
I agree with that.
Isn't good enough. Something that you said last night.
Against
the podcast,
Villa, actually. I think. The Villa game.
Every team that has beat City to the league in the last 10 years or so, won at the Etihad, Leicester, Chelsea, Liverpool, winning there sends a signal that would have killed City, hanging on for a draw, cemented our belief that we are a better team than them.
And if you remember, there was a heated debate immediately after that game. I was with Adrian Durham at the Etihad. Perry was sat watching from behind his hands here in the studio. And Adrian was making the point that it was a missed opportunity for Arsenal. City had a couple of key injuries that day, if you remember, and Arsenal just played far too cautiously. I think they had a golden opportunity to go there, get that statement victory, and put the championship race in their own hands.
I think they tried.
And I think they'll regret it.
They didn't try hard enough for me. If you watch it again, the first 20 minutes they tried, and
they
realised...
They are good.
Then they realised...
they weren't at their best.
Absolutely. They realised they were up against a boxer who was better than them. They're going to try and take it to points at the end of the 12th round. That's exactly what it is.
Should they have been braver?
The Villa game...
If they'd been braver, they would have got
They would have been
open.
Opened up. They would have been opened up. City was still by far and away the better side than that. Again, it was almost like... Not rope-a-dope, but... I'm just hanging on in here.
But
we'll take
he's
a point.
Right. It sends a message. It sends a psychological message to City. You know,
well, of course
they
does.
They know that you're better than them. But they know.
But it's easier said than done to go to the best team of the last few years. Again, Sam, you alluded to it. It's not been done before. Even that Liverpool side, even the Fergie United sides who had two goes at it, were not able to win four on the spin.
And I totally get it.
To do
great.
This mentally, not just physically
Wonderful.
And tactically, but mentally, day after day, we are seeing.
But do you want to go and watch it?
Yes.
Have you bought a ticket to go and see them?
No,
this year?
I haven't bought a ticket. No, right. I'm too busy working and then being with the kids when I'm not working. But my point is, we are seeing history in the making. We are seeing a genius at work in the way that you can say the same about Sir Alex Ferguson. The moment he leaves Manchester City is the moment the others get a chance. Now,
you can't sit there and go, he's absolutely fantastic, he's changed football, but God, we can't wait for him to leave so he gets more competitive.
I'm not
again.
Saying that. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that I believe, and you know, I've worked with you on the Premier League All Access podcast all season, and I've not changed my mind on City from the very beginning. And even when they were 3 points behind both Liverpool and Arsenal, I stuck with City. I still believe City are going to win this year. I think Arsenal will win it next year. I think Arsenal are getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and City will not win five on the spin. It's just an almost impossible thing to do in the Premier League.
And Paul says he's ruined football. He's put a midfielder in every position, even in goal. Ruined the art of a goalkeeper.
That's
ruined
true.
The art of a number nine. Ruined the crossing. Ruined headers. It's just pass, 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 pass. Watching Watford and Forest and Hull pass from the keeper to the centre half. It's just dull. Look forward to him leaving in a new style. Bring back 4-4-2, says Paul.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Guys, don't be ridiculous. Drawing at City is not a bad result. You're forgetting Arsenal took 4 points from City this year. They've lost the league because they dropped points against Fulham, Aston Villa, Chelsea or Spurs. By the way, they haven't lost it yet. There's still time to go. Sam, this playing out from the back, how many teams have lost games because of it? It's madness. You may as well give the opposition a goal start. Sam, to say City haven't had injuries is revisionism. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stones, Doku, all with extended absences. Edison missed a month, Grealish in and out. Luis, Bob, Ortega, Rodri and Alvarez, the only senior players to miss no matches through injuries or illness. That's true. I just don't think they've had as many injuries, and their squad is deeper, so they can carry more injuries than other teams. So I think that basically you're right, you're absolutely right. The Haaland, De Bruyne in particular, is what was really impressive is De Bruyne was out for so long and still has more assists than any other Premier League player this season. It's absolutely outstanding.
I think the other point to make about City, though, is they can afford to spend big money on a player who doesn't work out. And there's not many clubs, even at the top end of the Premier League, who can pay the type of money they did on Calvin Phillips, for example, and just ride that off. We've seen it a little bit with Mateus Nunez this year as well. He's not really made any impact. If a club like Manchester United pay £50 million for a player,
he's got to play.
It's got to be a success.
Like Anthony. City have scored 2 goals against Spurs in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in the last 5 years. It's a bogey match, says Colin in Surrey.
Yeah.
Morning, guys. Pep is the best manager to have ever lived to dominate La Liga with Barcelona, a side that already had the likes of Messi, Xavi and Iniesta. Was genius to follow that up with the biggest team in Germany who cherry-picked the best players in the league from their opponents was another masterstroke. I didn't know this was going to be sarcastic when I started reading it. As
can
for what
it?
Pep has done as City, well, it's just credible, isn't it? Who'd have thought that joining a team with unlimited resources and building the most expensive squad in football history would put you in a position of dominance? I certainly didn't see that coming. If I were to give
Pep well at United,
score out
isn't
of 100 and what he's achieved with Manchester City, I would give him 115 out of 100.
Well, let's put him in at United and see if he can make a
very
player
good.
Out of Anthony. Then we'll know he's a genius.
Absolutely. I mean, look, you know, United have spent as much as City over the last decade. So I mean, look at the difference between the two. In terms of Barcelona, we were just having that discussion when he took over. They hadn't won for 2 years, anything.
Oh, it was a different club.
And that was massive.
They were not the club.
He put Lionel Messi as a false nine, where people weren't talking about false nines. Frank Rijkaard didn't have the courage to do it. And absolutely, nailed it. Nailed the
whole
of Europe.
He won all those European Cups at Bayern as well.
No. Well, listen, he came in after the treble. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge even admitted afterwards that he's improved by Munich, even though he didn't win a Champions League. And Philipp Lahm, the World Cup winning captain.
You know they
captain.
Love him in Munich, right?
Philipp Lahm.
I'm being facetious.
Philipp Lahm, the World Cup winning captain, said, I am not going to be a manager because I've seen how Pep Guardiola does it and I can't go to those standards. So
I went to Munich with Manchester City last year? And literally, honestly, it was like the red carpet everywhere he went. There were the journalists in the press conference prior to the game were just like eulogizing, is it nice to be back, oh it's so great to see you. Everyone was like, obviously it helps that he speaks German as well, which is great because he's brilliant at that.
He learned it in his sabbatical,
he did it on purpose, which is great.
He pleased to see them because he doesn't particularly love journalists, does he? And post-match interviewers.
Depends which ones it is.
Is there a German version of Sam Matterface and Alex
Crick?
What?
We've had some. Recently we have had some brilliant discussions actually.
He says the same.
You haven't spoke to him, so don't give me all that.
Spoke to him quite a bit this season, actually.
Have you?
Yeah. He's been fine with me.
Yeah, because you only ever ask him one question, that's why.
Again, just the final one on that last one. I've said what I said about Barcelona and Bayern Munich. In terms of Manchester City, just look at Chelsea and Manchester United. Money spent, look where they are.
Yeah, and that's the key
thing. They spent it well, you can't argue with that.
The other thing about Manchester City is it's not just Pep Guardiola, and Pep Guardiola is terrific, but Manchester City from top to bottom is a well-run football club.
It's
a juggernaut football club. They have, yes, an owner with limitless cash. They also have a brilliant chief executive. They have a brilliant director of football who knows what Pep Guardiola needs to build a team that can dominate English football, to can compete late into European fixtures. The only issue is that if they keep winning year after year, week after week, all of a sudden the best league in the world tag, which we have attached to the Premier League, because it is, and it's the most competitive, it has been the most competitive, no longer is the most competitive league in the world.
But it's also down to others to step up. I do concede that the amount of money's been spent so they can get rid of now the likes of Zinchenko and Jesus, and we'll see what happens in terms of, you know, next season. And that's where I'd go for other clubs. I'd say, Pep, who don't you want? You know, I'm quite happy to take your cast off and it would make our team a lot better. But still, you have to blend it all together. And to get a De Bruyne, to get a Haaland, to get a Silva, to get a Foden, to get them all.
They can let Cole Palmer leave.
Well, exactly. But my point is to get them all working in the way they work. Forget how good they are, how much they work, how good they track back. Again, I go back to United and look at the players that don't track back there. He gets them absolutely perfect in every way.
They all actually work hard and do their job. But that also comes, and that this circles back round to the David Moyes issue that you've had, where you've got no clarity and you can tell that the ownership don't have faith in him, is that you know that Pep Guardiola runs Manchester City.
Absolutely.
He is in charge. So if you don't do the things he asks you to do, you're finished.
Joao Cancelo.
It's over.
And he's a little bit old school in that respect. That isn't really the way that modern football is going. And I think he's testimony to the fact that actually a manager being in control of the football club is not a bad thing. I can't agree with Scott about Arsenal. I think if they don't win it this year, they're going to finish on 89 points and probably not win the title. If they don't win it this year, I don't see how they bridge that gap next season. Because
no, they will.
Because City, on the back of a treble, I think there was at the start of the season a little bit of a hangover from that. But they obviously lost key players. They didn't really replace Gundogan in the summer.
They always start badly.
Yeah, Man City this year...
But badly, in inverted commas.
They only win 9 of 10.
Yeah. But this is not the best version of Man City that we've seen. The Man City of last season were better. And Arsenal have spent a lot of money on Declan Rice. They spent a lot of money on Kai Havertz. And they're still not going to win the league.
Crookie, in my opinion, we'll see. But in my opinion, they're bridging the gap. And you're right, I don't think they're quite as good as they were last season. But that's because this is the fourth time that they're trying to win the title. And again, the mental side of things, what people don't really understand, to go day after day, the training, the intensity, it is hard work mentally as well as physically. And that's where I think Arsenal, if they don't win the title, mentally would be bang up for it even more. City would be off it a little bit more. And that's where the gap would
Lovely
change.
To have so many people get involved on a beautiful bank holiday Monday. If you're out at the beach or you're sitting down by the river, you're sunning yourself because the weather is so great and you're listening to the radio. There's so much to get to in the next hour of the programme. We basically jumped around. We had a list of things we needed to talk about and then we just sort of ripped it up and started with West Ham and then we've sort of gone off on a tangent. I'm
glad the producer spent all night putting that running order together on a bank holiday Sunday.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. Jim will be back on the show tomorrow to bring you the best of the programme.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.